Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Butter
Hello.
Biscuit.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi. I was at the Wolf Trap last night in the front row of the upper deck, and I was wondering if you'd agree with me that it sounded really good, but Brian Wilson was as freaky as ever.
No, I want to discuss Brian Wilson at the concert last night
that
I went to see. Thank you, whoever you are. I've talked about Brian Wilson for a long time on this show and called him a genius and the Beethoven, and I've played the tapes.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, you have. Yes, you have.
I'm not going to play the tapes anymore, and I don't care if anybody says I'm a pussy, you can kiss my ass.
Mm-hmm.
Here's why. I went to see him last night with my kid, and all right, it's an emotional time for me, blah, blah.
Sure, you
know that. But
right.
I went to see him last night, and I've seen him on TV, and I've seen him on DVD, and last night he was more together than I've seen him in any performance in the last 5 years. He does have teleprompters, computer screens, uh-huh. right on his keyboard, and he has to look, and he has to see the words, even to the song. You would think that he would know all the words, like in my room.
Yeah,
right. They're all his songs.
Yeah,
right.
you cut him a slack burger when he wrote the songs. He can read the lyrics.
Brian Wilson did not freak me out last night. Last night was, the greatest elixir. Oh, what a tonic this mm-hmm. was for me last night.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
First off, I was going with my son, and these were tickets that my wife had gotten a long time ago.
Right.
And you know what the Brian Wilson's music has meant to me. And we were going to meet him allegedly before or after the show.
Right.
And I was uptight about that. And I was uptight about, frankly, like that guy said, what I was going to see. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what I was going to get.
Sure.
So we got there, and there's a lot of people that I want to thank, because we're going to get to some stuff that, at least to me, is important. A guy named Chris out of Wolf Trap. Also a guy named Pete. I'm not using their last names.
Right.
And also Brian Wilson's management team. When we got to Wolf Trap last night, where Brian Wilson was doing a show,
mm-hmm.
they got on the walkie-talkies, and they got us the fancy parking, and then they said, let's see your tickets. And Frida had bought tickets like 6 months ago and then bought real good tickets. And I mm-hmm. said, yeah, your tickets are good, but wouldn't you rather be 10 rows back instead of 20 rows back, and instead of being like off in the left corner, wouldn't you really rather be sitting right up front?
Sure.
So we said, are you kidding?
Oh, that's great.
Hold on, everybody's calling about. I bet it's either Brian Wilson or my washer. Hello?
Hello.
Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike.
Hey.
Hey, I had that same problem last week with my washer. My kids.
I knew it. It was yeah. one or the other.
You knew it.
It was one of the.
This house is so gone crazy.
Okay. What's the problem?
There's a vacuum tube on the top of the washer. If it comes out, what happens? The water just overflows the whole tub.
When did you stop listening to that?
Excuse me?
Vacuum tube.
Vacuum tube is when I stopped listening.
As soon as he said, there's A, because I thought, I'm not going to retain anything from that.
He lost me.
No. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike Radio Gods.
Hi there.
That is a big potential for mold to grow. I would highly recommend you cutting out the drywall and seeping up all the water.
I would highly recommend you pucker up and kiss my big white ass.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, don't say I didn't tell you.
All right, Bob Vila. Listen, I've not even seen the goddamn thing yet, okay? My son just called me and told me what's going on. He's there. The neighbor's there. The women that don't speak English are there.
I live in a 100-year-old house. You know, I've got mold that has babies. Right? I have mold that has middle-aged children.
Several
right
generations.
Now.
Of
yes,
mold.
Absolutely.
So about Mr. Brian Wilson.
Yes.
So we get these great seats, and it's my son and I, and we have a beer before the game, because it was like going to a football game. And we sit down, and they're playing the music, and I'm wondering what's going to happen. And here's the great thing about going to see Brian Wilson, is that because he does not speak a lot, you get a lot of music.
A lot of music concentrated into a shorter show.
He started at 8 o'clock.
Right.
And the whole first half of the show is Beach Boys music.
Mm-hmm.
And the average Beach Boys record is about 2.5 minutes long. And
right.
even if they jazz it up, it ends
right.
up being 3 minutes. He must have done 15 songs.
Just one right after the
one
other.
One right after the other. His ability to sing on many songs, to be honest, is of course it's not what it was.
Right.
But what I appreciated about his performance that I had never seen before was that when there are notes that he can't hit, he doesn't pretend, he points. He points to the guy on stage. Last night it was the guy in the white shirt.
And the sound is great. He's got some good singers with him.
Right. His backups are phenomenal. The guy still got the chops on, like, In My Room.
Right.
He said, that's just Brian Wilson. There were no backups. That's just him. He was phenomenal. So we're watching this, and it's just great. And it gets to be intermission. And then the second half of the show, he did the whole album, Smile. He just does the entire album.
Wow.
Nonstop, and then he did California Girls and you know, like five encores, and then that's it. And
what's he finished with? What's the one he finished?
Fun. It was Help Me Rhonda was towards the end.
Big standing ovations at the end of that.
Yeah, and really for Brian Wilson, for anyone who's seen Brian Wilson before, it was refreshing for me to see them actually put a guitar on Brian Wilson, watch him get up from behind the keyboards. And that when they were doing Johnny B. Goode, he was actually up dancing on stage, playing the guitar and dancing.
So he's come an amazingly long way from when he used to have to be carried onto the stage because he was in such bad shape.
Absolutely. So now it's after the show. He's done the show. He's done the encores. It's great. I'm ecstatic. And I know that it's going to be a bit of a CF going back to meet him. And I had even had a conversation with Rob earlier in the day saying, God, you know, seriously, for me, meeting Brian Wilson, who is the biggest musical influence in my stupid life, would be a gigantic thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what if it was awful? What if it was like when I met Elton John, who I don't give a rat's ass about, but remember I got a cold, clammy, Liza Minnelli-like handshake from
you. Yeah, your backstage experience with Elton John was wonderful, where he just put the hand out, and there was absolutely no pressure, which is the worst kind of handshake in the world.
And they really said, like, don't look at him in the eye, and it was like they said, in essence, in that experience, it was, how would you like to wait for an hour for the chance to walk by and have someone slap your open palm with a dead fish?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay. The diva.
So, this couldn't be more different. They had people backstage, a small group, I'd say 30 people, and they immediately divided into the haves and have-nots. There were the people with the stickers and the people with the wristbands.
Mm-hmm.
And we were with the sticker people. And they said to the wristband people, I don't know, it was something where, like, you know, he'll walk by or something, or you can wave at him or something. And the wristband people would, like, if he feels like it, he's going to say hello to you, but be very careful. And I was thinking this could be awkward when these guys, especially this guy Pete, came by and grabbed Bart and I and said, hey, come here. Come back here right now. You two, come back this way.
Just you two.
So we get pulled back. I say, what's up? And he says, we talked to Brian. He's ready. He's up for it.
Okay.
So they prepped me on this before I met this guy, which is why I'm not going to play those tapes anymore. But because I had a real personal connection with Brian Wilson last night. They said, you're going to get maybe a variety of personalities. You know, that he's not always good with people.
Mm-hmm.
If he says something that you don't follow, just say, okay. If he asks you to leave or says goodbye, don't be offended.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I'm walking in thinking, really, I don't know, you know, what I'm...
Thank you!
It's going to be very weird.
What I'm going to be walking into, right? I mean, I this is what I imagine.
Yeah!
Okay? And I'm nervous, and my heart is beating, you know, and he's... And coincidentally, the show that he did last night, the Beach Boys song that they did not do was Don't Worry, Baby,
which was
my song with Freedom.
Right.
But the one that he closed with was a song called Love and Tenderness. I hope that's the title. It's a solo song by Brian Wilson, a very obscure song.
But you knew it?
Yeah, well, and I knew it because my kid had found it on some soundtrack
album. All right, great.
Love and I don't remember the name, but whatever. Well, I just thought it was weird that out of all the songs he could have ended with, he ended with a song that probably only three people in the crowd knew, and maybe more. But I felt
one of them.
Yeah. I felt, you know, something, and I'm not gonna get all John Edwards on your ass, but I felt like, okay, this is kind of spooky.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So we go back and we're walking through the backstage area, and they say, okay, you ready? I say, yeah. He says, wait right here. Walk in the room. He says, Don Bart, come on in. We come in, and there's Brian Wilson, and he's
sitting, standing.
He is sitting, but he stands up, and he comes over. And I don't know who was in the room. I was told later it was just family members.
Right.
Like, I don't know, mother and aunt, something like that.
Okay.
Maybe a wife, a girlfriend, a kid. Three people in the room, and Brian Wilson. And they introduce him to me, and he looks me dead in the eye, and we shake hands, and I start to tell him what his music has meant to my life. And I'm telling you, I wasn't talking to the guy. You know,
right, like right, this. Right.
I had an incredible, very intense conversation with this guy, telling him about the music that he wrote and what it meant to me, and that
right.
The first rock and roll song my kid ever learned was Surfing USA, and there is my kid right here. And then I told him about freedom. I told him way too much, and I know that I was going a mile a minute, and the people around him were looking at me, and I was getting the feeling they were like, you know, you're overloading him
okay.
with this, but I was not. He took it all in and then said, you know, I'm very sorry for your loss.
Right.
I'm glad my music has touched you. Reached out, touched me on the shoulder, and then started asking me questions about what I, you know, what's your favorite song? And, oh, I know what it was. It was about Surfing USA. Was that really the first song that your kid ever learned? I said, yes. And he would sing it wrong. He would sing Surfing in the USA.
Right.
And I wanted him to go Surfing USA. And at that point, Brian Wilson goes, everybody gone surfing USA. Like he had to remember it himself. And then he said, yeah. And then he looked at me and he goes, that is a good rock and roll song. And I said, yeah, it is.
Right.
And he said, what other ones do you like? And it's like, I couldn't believe this. I'm standing here with, you know, the guy that I consider to be Beethoven, no matter what dumb tapes I've played.
So only recently it seems like he has come to really clue in on people like you who he's influenced, and he seems to be digging it, right?
Yes. It was definitely the happiest 10 minutes that I've had since in the last month.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, really, he could not have been a better guy. And I feel like the biggest creep for ever playing those tapes of him,
mm-hmm.
because I know how I felt about him, and we do a show and everything. But I'm telling you, last night there was no need for Brian Wilson to meet me or to give two rats asses about me. And what is so great is that we had this time together, and then they said, you know, well, do you want your picture with Brian or do you want an autograph? And I said, you know, yeah. I don't need it. You know, I met the man.
The time,
you know, I mean, you know,
thing, yeah.
I got a hug from Brian Wilson.
Yeah, and you get to tell him the way you feel. How many people get a chance to do that?
So I'm in the car, and we're going home, and we are about 10 minutes from home. The phone rings, and I see it's the guy from the concert. And I just assume that he is saying, you know, was everything okay?
Right.
You know, was your ass kissed enough? So I pick up the phone, and I say, wow. God, that was like one of the best nights of my life. He said, Brian was just asking where you are. So I'm thinking, like, hello?
Yeah.
Impossible.
How can this be real?
Right. And I said, well, why would he be asking? He said, because he realized that he didn't give Bart
right.
a copy of his CD and DVD, and he wanted to autograph them to Bart, and he was upset. Happily upset, but he wanted to make sure that they would get to me to get the stuff to me. And I just walked away from that, and I thought, you know, Jesus H. Christ.
How much do you think he would have accomplished if he hadn't had the problems that he had? Do you think he would have been, you know, I hate to use the example of an Elton John, but do you think he would have been like an Elton John in the regard that he would be?
What, that he'd like, like guys?
No, that he would be going through the decades and modifying and reinventing himself and creating
Love and Mercy.
Stuff.
That's the name of this.
Love and Mercy.
I think that's the name. Yeah, he's making music, Mike. I don't know. See, here's the thing about Brian Wilson. I don't know if all those songs would have been as great if he wasn't as...
Like when he was writing them.
Effed up. Mm-hmm. Like, would Good Vibrations be
point.
What it is if he didn't lock himself in a room for 9 months and get high and figure out a way to stack tracks?
Right.
But anyway, it was just, I've been fortunate in this stupid job to meet a lot of people who I consider to be important. And this one blew me away. I mean, when Bart and I were walking out of the place, I was just... I mean, I wasn't like crying. I was happy. I was like,
good.
I said, do you freaking believe that? I said, God damn, I mean, we're talking to Brian Wilson about music, and I mean, and he wasn't a dick, and he definitely was not.
Thank you.
You know, like that. I mean, the guy was cool, and it was eye contact, and
right.
It was. I was just like, yeah, effing A.
That's fantastic. Yeah, that's
so
great.
It couldn't have been nicer, and it was.
I know that I was thinking last night when you were leaving, I was hoping that the experience would be a 10. You know, I was hoping that you would, you know, that you would have that. And that's great. And that, and I'm happy for Brian Wilson too, because as I said, being an eyewitness to seeing what he, what phase he was going through the last time I saw him in person. It's cool that he's, you know, that he's come out of that.
You know, and the songs were just great.
And the band good, the good, you know.
Oh, kick ass. Mm-hmm. He got a bunch of guys that sound like the Beach Boys, yeah. And he's got a horn section, and he's got, I mean, he's percussionist, and he's got a pretty incredible troupe, and I could go on and on, but I was just blown away by the fact, he doesn't know me from Adam. I'm pretty sure he doesn't even remember being on our show.
I wondered about that.
But for whatever reason, last night, you know, some divine intervention came through, and there I was with him, and meant a lot to me, and I was just very glad to be able to meet the guy.
Did they have any food backstage?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, good.
They did.
What was a good spread?
I didn't eat anything, Mike, but
you know me.
They had, let me see, maybe a chicken salad on the little tiny buns, like,
right?
And the little, you know, like
little finger sandwiches,
like appetizer buns.
Yeah,
and then there were, of course, lots of M&Ms and soft drinks
and acid, right?
And acid and H and some crystal meth.
Fantastic.
And
that adds to the backstage experience.
It's all in the writer.
On the fire trucks and the hookers and they were so nice, so nice, bordering on stupid, based on who they gave these passes to. They gave my son and I all access passes.
So you got a chance to wander around.
Well, after we had met Brian Wilson, Bart said to me, "Dad, you know, we can really go anywhere we want." I said, "Yeah, you're right." So we just kind of walked around for a while.
Did he have a bus?
I don't know, but yeah, and don't say it. It was a short bus.
No, I didn't. I am being reverent like you are. I am not.
I don't know.
Meant a lot to you, and
I don't know if Brian Wilson had a bus or not. All I know is that Bart and I had the thrill of walking around while other people were staring at us as if somehow we were aligned with the show.
Oh, very good.
We really enjoyed the, "Hey, we're in here,
right? Sure.
Right now, you are out there."
Oh, so they were like looking at you from a level where they,
right? "Hey, everybody, it's hot out there. Guess what? It's cold in here, and there's booze." Oh, but the biggest problem I had last night, seems all the problems in my life have to do with numbers.
Okay.
There's the number three problem.
Yes.
Yes.
Number two has always been a good, loyal number to me. Mm-hmm. But number one, here is the number one problem with number one last night. I drank a lot of Diet Vanilla Coke and water during the show.
Right? Right.
So by the time the show is over and I get home, when I go to hit the head, that first, I drove
like Tom Hanks in A League of Their Own.
Right. I drove all the way out to the to the concert place and waited and met the guys and got the passes.
You
and
were
then,
in pain.
And then got in line and had to wait in line.
Oh, my
and
God.
It was like 100 degrees. And when I finally got up there, nothing would happen, and this has nothing to do with Frida's passing or what's going on with me sexually. This is what's known as stadium stuff.
That's a term that I coined. It was used, basically developed in stadiums all around the country when you have a line of people in back of you. Stadium stop is when you suddenly experience pressure for a function that normally you have no pressure with. You normally are by yourself, you're doing that. When people are looking at you, you tend to lock up.
So I've got to go so bad that as I'm standing in line, I'm really doing this thing where, like, I'm up
the dance.
On the foot.
You know what? Let me tell you about stadium stop also. In the condition you are in, it's also physiological. You can have to pee so bad that everything has expanded down there, and it's shutting it down. It's mm-hmm. there's so right?
Mm-hmm.
So you
I'm
can have that experience.
So I'm standing at the urinal. I'm looking at the cake. And
the urinal cake.
And
angel food.
Just like with the other problem, nothing's going on.
But that's not related.
No, no. I know it's not related, but I'm feeling the pressure. And so what I do is, like, you know what? Maybe it is an actual pressure issue. I will simply unbuckle my shorts, and at that point, I'm...
Your shorts fell to the floor.
Oh, no, they didn't. They did not, but I look like the world's biggest queer because...
How many people are in back of you?
In the line that I was in, 14.
Oh, my God.
At least, there was like, you know, it was like almost on a highway where you've got like 8,000 lanes merging into one.
Mm-hmm. They're individual urinals, though, right? It's not the trough?
No, yeah, but there's no partition between.
So right, trough. Right.
So I'm standing there, and while I'm standing there, you know, like five guys have come and gone on either side mm-hmm. of me, and I got not a drop coming out.
Waiting for the guy in back of you to say something. Yo, pal.
Yeah, so finally I said, oh, screw it, this will never do. And I go and I wash my hands. Why, I don't know. I go outside, and Bart says, do you feel better? And I said, no, I couldn't go. I couldn't go. And he said, why? I said, stadium stop. And he said, oh, well, what's up with that? I said, you know what? I'm going to drink a beer. Because okay. I never drink beer. I never drink beer. But I said,
me neither.
I know that.
Nice try.
I know beer make it go. Beer's going to make that engine go.
Right. So sometimes beer makes you go when you don't want it.
So I got...
That made Rob laugh.
So look at that.
I got me the big 24-ounce Heineken keg can.
Oh, fantastic.
So you can't drink this at your seat.
Right.
So I said to Bart, what I'm going to do...
It's a hoppy beer.
I'm going to... to power drink this beer, and then I'm going to wait a couple of seconds until my bladder is ready to explode. And if I time this perfectly, it's going to be right as Brian Wilson's getting ready to go on stage,
right
about 7:30. So we're sitting down in the grassy area there, having something to eat, and I'm having this, and I pounded that beer right back, and incidentally, what's the fascination with that, Mike?
With beer.
Can I tell you something? I drank 24 ounces of beer on a stomach. All I had to eat yesterday was a lean pocket and a whatever those crappy shakes are that I have.
Slim Fast.
Slim Fast.
Like that.
That's all I had. So you would think 24 ounces of beer, I would be drunk as a schoolgirl.
Well, you're talking to the wrong guy here. I can't relate to that at all. You know, because really, 24 ounces of beer for me, that's part of the setting of the table.
Well, I might as well have had milk.
You're saying you didn't get any buzz when you drank the 24-ounce beer.
I'm with you. I get too full. I get full before I get the buzz.
You know,
I think most people do. Beer, that's what beer does to you. But if you drink 14 of them, you'll get that buzz.
Yeah, I couldn't hold 14.
So what I'm doing is I'm drinking this beer, and also I'm concerned that unlike when I drink, and I've not been drinking as much since Frida passed, I noticed also that you really get worse breath with beer. Noticed that, so I had my Listerine strips with me. I pound this beer, and then I start on a Diet Coke, and I say to Bart, okay, it's 10 till 8. I'm going to go get back in line because I'm going to take care of this right now. I go get in line. There's only about 8 guys in line. When it's my turn, I unzip, and nothing.
Oh. Again?
Nothing. Now, at this point... they're ringing the bell. Actually got a bell out of this place at Wolf Trap, this concert venue that lets
hear ye.
That lets you know that the show's gonna start in 5 minutes, and they start with the lights down, down the lights.
Right.
Now, I'm standing there and there are guys behind me, and this is where I hear, what are you doing that? What are you playing? Are you playing with yourself? What are you doing?
Oh, see, and then it makes it worse.
And I turn around.
Well, you've had a beer. You were overloaded to start with.
But
and then you had a beer, so you're loading yourself up even more.
Here's what's funny. You know the guy that was heckling me?
Who?
It was Mike Love.
Oh. Really?
No, that's pretty amazing. It wasn't John Stamos?
No, it wasn't Blackie Parrish. So, again, my son, who's just great in this situation, waiting outside, like I've got a medical condition, right? I come out and he goes, how'd everything go? And I'm like... thumbs down, dude. Nothing happened. Let's go watch the show.
So I got to go right now. You're making me want to go right now.
So
and you know
go,
what? I'm going to do that.
We go watch. Will you help yourself, Mike? Rupert? Rupert?
Thank you. May I go to the bathroom, please?
Thank you. Thank you for the towel, Rob.
It's the genital cuff.
Why do they put a cork on the fork?
So Brian Wilson kicks ass with the first set, and he's going to do intermission. He plays an hour. And after he got done with the last song of the first half, I said to Bart, okay, now we're going to go right to the bathroom. We're going to sprint over there. I'm going to be the first guy in line, and you just tell them to take a number for better service because Secretariat is really going to be, I'm in.
So, you gallop on over to the men's room.
We run down to the bathroom. No less than 30 seconds after he's done singing, the house lights come up. I'm the first guy there. I stand there. I unzip my pants, and it's the Great Wall of China. I mean, not a drop. Now, Buzz, here is where your theory is proven correct.
Okay.
It was, like everything, right up here in the inner government, it was all in the head. See that?
Thanks.
How did you?
That's my foot
that's your skull. How did you possibly figure it out?
Because after the show, now Brian Wilson has done a 2.5-hour show, and I have still not taken a piss show before we're going to meet him. Bathroom in here. And I'm back in the private area, and the guy said, Peter, one of these guys says to me, oh yeah, and I got to tell you something really great. They gave me a code word.
It's funny, the guy directing you to that is named Peter.
They gave me a code word to use backstage so that the guys backstage would know that I was one of the people that was really supposed to meet Brian Wilson. I won't tell you what the word is, but it's a funny word.
Oh, okay,
So when I would have to go to the bathroom or something, if I wanted to use a good bathroom, I would have to walk up to the guy. Let's say the word was rhinoceros.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I would have to walk up to the guy with the security thing and say, "Hi there, rhinoceros. Would there be a bathroom I could use?" And immediately, rather than saying, "Yeah, go down there with every other schmuck,"
right,
would say, "Come on back here."
So right.
Now this is right before I'm going to meet Brian Wilson, and I'm in a private bathroom. And I'm standing there, and nothing is happening.
Okay.
That's been almost 3 hours.
Third or fourth try.
And I hear a knock on the door. I'm like, "What?" And it's Bart. He says, "Dad, what are you doing in there?" I said, "I'm still trying to pee." He said, "They said we can go meet Brian now." I said, "Oh, Christ.
There's more pressure."
All right. So I zip up. I zip up. We go in.
I'm starting to hurt.
We meet him.
I got to go bad.
We meet him. We have the great time with him. Uh-huh. It's like the experience of my life.
Right.
Then as we are leaving,
mm-hmm.
as we are walking out, I said to Bart, "I got to go." And he said, "Come on." I said,
"Heard that before." Said,
"Boy, he's been patient. Your son's very patient to put up with this all night."
I said, "This time, I swear to God," and this was late. This is like 11:30.
Right.
And nobody's even in the place, so there's no line in any bathroom. I said to him, "I got the feeling that I'm going to explode."
Yeah.
So I realized then when I walked into the bathroom, it wasn't the stadium stop. It wasn't other people. I was uptight about meeting
nerve.
Brian Wilson.
Yeah.
And
your body was tense.
I stood there and let me just say that you could have played, Surfer Girl. I Get Around. You could have played Heroes and Villains. You could have played like 8 Beach Boys records. And during the entire time, I was just, you know, painting the urinal.
The cake.
Just painting the cake.
You know, it's even worse if you have that kind of trough is it trough or trough?
Trough.
Trough.
T-R-O-F-T.
Trough?
Trough.
T-R-O-U-G-H.
No. Right.
That's the way you spell it. And those I hate worse than anything because you're basically sitting there and, you know, participating in one big river.
Nissan Pavilion has that facility, yeah.
Don't you pronounce it I've heard it pronounced trough.
I thought it was trough.
No,
with a TH sound.
Some people do, but that's incorrect.
I think that is mistaken, yes. But it is common.
Really,
trough.
It's just like a big sink.
Eat at the trough.
Yeah. It's lucky you didn't release when you met Brian.
Yeah.
You said, "There you are. It's nice to..." Oh.
That would be...
Okay, I don't want to talk to you anymore.
But anyway, that was... it was weird, because it was obviously psychological, that as soon as the pressure of meeting him was off...
Right.
Yeah.
I stood there and it was like, "Oh, God, hello?"
And then when you were finally done, did you go out and see Bart and then run to the car just to feel better? Just because it felt better because you were so much lighter?
And wasn't that like the greatest 5 minutes of your life, really? I mean, at least at the time, it seemed like...
Can I just say this to you? Being as I've been in this condition, and, you know, it's the closest I've come to sex.
Ah, that's good.
It's the closest.
It's a wonderful feeling.
And were you tired when you get on? Did you no more tries for that? No more attempts at that situation?
Oh, last night? No.
No.
No, because I got home last night and had a fantastic heart-to-heart with my kid.
We were speculating that, because of the events of yesterday at the end, because of that release, which I thought was extremely healthy and necessary towards the end of the show yesterday, I was thinking that might have jogged you into functioning in that other way,
not a chance.
And then meeting Brian Wilson, that didn't
no meeting Brian Wilson didn't turn on my sex switch again.
Okay. I'm just anything I'm looking for anything with that.
No there's and I didn't try last night because I got home last night. I had my nice family thing with my son, and we had a great chat about life and everything. And
but you were talking about it yesterday, and I just wanted to tell you, maybe it was all the talk about that, but I did yesterday. Yeah, I'm not trying to brag or anything, but it's just
a show off.
I just, I did. And it was
how many times do you have to say you did it, okay?
It was quality, because of the quality of the performance was way up there.
You found a good movie? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
A good porno?
But really, when you get five channels, you're lucky to get one that's even reasonable. And there was only one, but it was very, very good.
All you need is one good one.
She was very talented.
And like I said, besides last night, I was feeling all emotional and I was on that, I had that adrenaline high after meeting Brian Wilson. Like I said, got home, had a good chat with my son, and then that's the last thing that I was, you know, going
to
think about.
You were emotional last night?
Yes. Why? We'll be right back.